This lesson was brought to you by Larry Acuff.
In order to get that destroyed again. Why this again? My friend, listen, if you and I are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to make a decision. In the book of Joshua, you remember, Joshua said, you can choose who you'll serve. Either the God of the Amorite, and to this land you dwell, God on the other side of the flood. But he said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot
$250. You say, well, I think I'll just not do it tonight. I'll wait a few days. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You wait a few days, and you go in there to get that same ticket, it's going to be $325. And you wait another week or two, and you go in there and get that ticket, it's going to cost you $450. Now, I know by experience. I mean, I thought, well, I'm going to try to wait. I'm going to get a cheaper ticket. Jed and I were going out to Houston, Texas back in December. And we were going to stay in a hotel that we were going out with our daughter and son-in-law. And I went on the internet to make reservations and I saw the price of the room and I thought, now I'm going to wait a few days, and I did. And that few days cost me money. Procrastination. There are many individuals. My friend, let me tell you something. Salvation is more important than buying a ticket to Dallas or staying at a hotel in Houston, Texas. The salvation of man is more important, and Jesus says you need to make a decision. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You and I need to make a decision. Are we going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? We have so many individuals in our society today and in our world today, and they're trying to straddle a fence. There are those in the body of Jesus Christ, and they want to get all hoop-de-doo in the church, and they want to do this, and they want to do that, and then they want to impress you with the idea of how spiritual they are. My friend, listen, you and I are only spiritual when we abide by the things that are written in the holy will of God. Number one, make a decision. Secondly, not only is there a decision that must be made, but there is a danger that you and I must observe. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Do what? Beware. You need to look out for false prophets. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. My friend, you and I need to be aware of the fact that there are those who are going to teach a message that's not contained in the will of God. For an example, look at what John said. 1 John 4, verse 1, John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God. Why? For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Or turn with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2, beginning at verse one, number 1. The Bible said there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord which bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Galatia. In Galatians chapter number 1, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. About 3 weeks ago, there was a couple that came into our assembly on Sunday morning. Fine-looking young couple. I introduced myself to them, and so I preached my sermon. I was preaching. One of the points I made in the sermon had to do with miracles. I don't remember now what the title of the sermon was, but one of the points I made had to do with miracles. And so this young man, he and his wife came out, and I had already asked them. I said, "Now, where are you from?" And I give my man. I'm gonna tell you. I give him a 10 degree right there in the pew. I want to know where you're from. Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Tell me the congregation you came from. Did you grow up in? Well, I didn't do all of that, but at any rate, we're members of the church, okay? When he came out, and I shook hands with him, he said, "Preacher, I don't agree with you on those miracles." Well, I said, "You and I are just going to need to sit down and study that." I made an appointment with them, which is their home. And in the course of the conversation, what I really found out is that he was a part of a denomination. His wife had been baptized into the quotation marks Church of Christ, but I'm going to tell you something else. She doesn't a bit more believe the Bible. I don't know how she came to obey the gospel. She doesn't believe the Bible. I know she doesn't believe the Bible because we got off, started to discuss the subject of theistic evolution. I was talking about Genesis 1. The days in Genesis 1 are 24-hour days, and he sort of looked at me strange, and then he said, "You're going to have problems with her on that one. She's a theistic evolutionist." So we talked. And he kept telling me the Spirit's telling him this, and the Spirit's telling him that. And I said, I've done this before. You've heard me tell. I've done this before, just different folks. But I made the statement. We went outside and the driver's getting ready to go home, and he kept saying, "The Spirit..." I said, "I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Spirit told me He didn't tell you that. He didn't say that to you." He kind of backed up. And I'm going to tell you this. When you and I look at the Scriptures, and Paul said, "We are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Now, my friend, it does not take somebody with a PhD degree, it does not take somebody who has had 1,000 years of education to understand what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter number 1. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And we'll have some other studies. But when you and I study the Bible, and when you and I come to the fact that the Scriptures tell us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and Jesus is saying, "You beware of false prophets." Everybody has this idea. Well, now, if they've got a Bible, they must be right. Oh, if they're religious. I heard Zig Ziglar several years ago. He said, "I am dieting religiously." He said, "That means I quit eating in the church building." Well, you know, when you and I, folks, they had this idea that if I'm religious, like the fellow was on the airplane, And they, I mean, man, I don't know if you've ever flown when an airplane gets to, you know, going through some turbulence. Sometimes I've wished I was not on there. I was down on the ground. You go through and there's turbulence and so, this fellow, he was on the plane and man, all that turbulence and finally, they thought maybe it was gonna, somebody said, somebody do something religious. Well, a preacher was there and he took up a collection and so, you know, we have this idea that if something is religious, listen to what Jesus said, you beware of false prophets. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have a friend. I've known him for many, many years. I'd lost track of him. He called me or got in touch with me. I don't remember. Maybe emails. But one Sunday, I was holding a meeting in the congregation. I get up to speak, and lo and behold, there he sits. After we had the service, and we had a potluck lunch, and he and I sat there and talked, I come to the, or found out that he was attending a liberal congregation of the Lord's people that did not have respect for the will of God. But you know what? Well, Brother Acuff, you know, he said, it's close to where we live. He said, you know, let me tell you something, my friend. I drive 100 miles on the Lord's Day to go and worship with a faithful group of people in order to go to heaven before I'd walk across the street just to be religious. The Bible tells us. Jesus said, you beware. I said, I can't understand in the name of common sense, Ray, how you could involve yourself in this kind of activity. You know what the Bible teaches. You know the will of God. What did Jesus say? You beware of false prophets. In Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. You remember that Paul, when he called the elders of Ephesus together at Miletus, and he said to these men, you take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For he said, I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Beware. Be on guard. Be willing to listen. Be willing to search the Scriptures. Be willing. Hey, went, listen. I heard about a preacher. He got up in the pulpit and he began to preach something that was not according to the will of God. And in the midst of his sermon, one of the elders of that congregation stood up and walked up front and got on the pulpit, put his arm around him and said, brother, you're through right now. God bless a man that has the courage to do that. And I'm going to think that'd be embarrassing. I'd rather be embarrassed and go to heaven than not be embarrassed and go to hell. And so when Jesus said, you beware. We've got folks with blinded eyes. With stopped up, they've stopped their ears. They have become dull of hearing. And they hear and they listen and yet not moved. And Jesus said, you beware.
Of all hearts.
I challenge us, brethren, that in the body of Jesus Christ, that we go back to book, chapter, and verse. That you and I take the Bible and that we let the world know that we stand for the truth, that we stand for the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Here's the book. Here's the chapter. And here's the verse. Oh, we've been scared to death to use the terminology that we used years ago. We speak for the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible is silent. We do Bible things and Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. Don't be ashamed to stand up for what is right. Jesus said, beware. Number one, a decision has to be made. Number two, there is a danger that must be encountered. Number three, there is a deception that you and I must avoid. Now notice this. Jesus said, beware of false prophets that come to you like a wolf. Oh no, no, no. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Deception. If you had time, I would survey with you the book of 1 John chapter number 2. You remember in John 2, 15 through 17, Jesus said, or John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. And he talks about those in the entire book of John, about those who do not follow Christ. And he said, they were not of us. He said, they went out from us. There are those who depart. Not only that, then he said, they deceive the brethren. And they deny the faith. Three things in about verse number 18 down through about verse number 23. He said, they depart. He said, they deny the faith. And they deceive the brethren. They seduce. He uses the word seduce in that passage of Scripture. And so, you know, we've gotten to this idea where, well, feel good religion. Oh, Rebecca, he's so sweet, isn't he? Yeah. He's a sheep in wolf's clothing. You know, a guy gets on television and smiles. I know he gets smiling. Some of our brethren, you'd think, I mean, if they smile, their face would crack. I mean, not he'd say it. But when we get to the idea that every message has got to be a feel-good message, send me $1,000 and this next week you'll get five. Huh? One fellow, so this guy tried to said, if you'll send me $1,000, if you'll send me $1,000, then next week you sometime in the next year you'll get $5,000. Fellow wrote him a letter and he said, I got a better idea. Why don't you send me $1,000 and in the next few weeks you'll get $5,000? He didn't get his $1,000. See, we've got this prosperity gospel. We've got this feel-good gospel. We've got this idea. Look, I'm glad in some of these congregations they've taken the name Church of Christ off their building because they don't depict what the Bible teaches about the... There is something in a name. There's something in a name. If you don't believe it, I'm telling you what, if you don't believe this, go to the bank Monday. I don't know if they're open tomorrow or not. Go to the bank Monday. Go down there and write a check to yourself for $1,000 and sign Doris Hughes' name on it. Now they might cash it. But let me tell you something. The name on that check. I heard about one guy who had gone to a denominational church and the preacher kept getting, well, there's nothing in her name, there's nothing in her name, there's nothing in her name, doesn't make any difference, nothing in her name. And then they took up a collection following the service that night. He wrote him a check for $1,000, put it in the collection plate. Next day, got a call from the church secretary. Said, oh, we thank you so much. This is so wonderful. You've written this check for $1,000. Only one thing, though, she said, you forgot to sign it. He said, no, I didn't. You put anybody's name on there because your preacher said last night that name doesn't make any difference. Well, let me tell you, it does. We've talked about this. Several years ago after Opryland opened up down here in Nashville, we lived in Michigan. And I don't know where we're going. Maybe over to Spa, I don't remember. But anyway, we came through Nashville and Opryland Hotel had just opened. And I said, Janet, let's go over to look at Opryland Hotel. We did. I mean, a beautiful place still. I mean, it's beautiful now. It was fresh and new and we looked around at all that. And I said, let's stay all night here tonight. Well, okay. So I go up to the desk and I ask the lady, I said, I'd like to get a room here tonight. She said, I'm sorry, sir, but we do not have any more. We're all booked up. I said, that's all right. That's what I said. At 6 o'clock, somebody's going to cancel. She said, oh, no, sir. We don't have cancellations. I said, well, you will tonight. And I said, you see that chair sitting over there? And she said, yeah. I said, I'm going to sit down in that chair, and I'm just going to sit there, and the first cancellation you get, you let me know, and I want that room. She said, well, okay, sir, what is your name? I said, my name's Larry Acuff. She said, wait just a minute. She went into a back room. She come back out and she said, Mr. Acuff, I've got a room for you. Now, let me tell you, I called Roy in the meeting. No, we didn't have cell phones then. Anything in a name? You know there's something in a name. And the precious name of Jesus Christ. You know, some of our schools, and I'm glad they've done this because they're no longer faithful to the will of God. They took the name Christian out of it. They should have. When you and I, we look at this, my friend, and you and I understand that there is that deception. Oh, we look good. We're excited. I was reading a website not long ago about a congregation of the Lord's people. And they were saying, oh, we want everybody to feel at home, and we're this and we're that, and some folks are, well, I'll tell you what they do. Some folks are up shouting and waving their hands, and others are down on their knees. I want to ask you a question. How's that decently and in order? How can a man who's trying to focus on the will of God and he's focused on the message, and maybe he is on his knees and another one up there shouting and clapping and going, oh, my friend, the Bible says we ought to worship God decently and in order. I'm just starting now. I'll be through at 12. And that is deception. Now, number 4. A decision has to be made. A danger observed. Deception, when folks make themselves, present themselves to be something they are not. Now then, division occurs. See, when man began to practice their own teaching, that's what happens. There's division. The Bible tells, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, you're familiar with that. Paul said, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. He said, it's been reported unto me of you, my brethren, by them of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Some say, I, Paul, I, Apollos, I, Cephas, I, Christ. Is Christ divided? There used to be the time, in Romans chapter 12, we don't have time tonight, Romans chapter number 1, verse 12 through verse 17, the Bible talks about faith, 4 different kinds there. And in one of those passages, he talks about the common faith. Do y'all remember? It used to be that you could get in your automobile and you could go anywhere you want to go in the United States of America, and you could take the yellow pages and you could open that yellow pages up and look for the Church of Christ, and you could go to that congregation on the Lord's Day and they would be doing the same thing that you were doing at the West Riverside Church in McMinnville, Tennessee. They're doing that not anymore. Went to a congregation out west, walked in the building. Sure enough, there sat a piano. I said, oh, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, we'll not use it. No, I said, I don't care whether you use it. Well, I cared, but it's not the matter of whether you use it or don't. I'm not staying here because you support it. I'm going over here, another Church of Christ. You see, when you and I see what you see what false teaching does, it causes division. That every one of us, listen, Paul said that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. Division. The saddest thing in the world, in the body of Christ, I'm going to talk about Sunday night, saddest thing in the world is division. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now last, damnation. Number 1, a decision has to be made. Number 2, a danger must be understood and known. Number 3, deception must be avoided. Number 4, division is a result. And number 5, damnation is the end result. Look at what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 7, listen to this. He said, not every man that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, many will come to me in that day and they'll say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, in your name cast out devils, and in your name do many wonderful works? I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Oh, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Oh, Lord, we did these great works in your name. Oh, no, I didn't recognize it. And the Bible teaches that these go away to everlasting punishment. Matthew 25. I didn't recognize it. There are those who have the idea. They have the idea that if you have what they call the core gospel. Let me tell you what they define the core gospel as being. They define the core, here it is. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died on the cross that you be saved from your sin. Now, if you believe that, whatever else you do doesn't matter. Well, my friend, they're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Because you and I know. I talked to a fellow one time, and that was his idea. It's the core of God. I want to ask you a question. I said, now, what you're saying is that all a man has to do is believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Is that right? In other words, and if he does something else over here, that's... Yeah, I said, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. What if a fellow says he's going... He thinks it's all right just to have the bead counting. We're going to count beads. Well, he said, I might not go that far. Why not? What if somebody comes along and they'll say, it doesn't make it, as long as you believe in, Jesus Christ, it is essential that we believe in Him, and in so doing, we follow His leadership. That we follow His will. Matthew chapter 7. When you and I look, who hath bewitched you? Paul asked that question in Galatians 3. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? If you're here tonight, have you been bewitched? Surely not. Surely there's everyone here tonight, if you're faithful members of the body of Christ, God bless you. Just go out and keep encouraging and keep growing and keep bringing others in. But if you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation is simple. The plan of salvation is basic, and that is simply this, that you hear the Word of God, that you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that you repent of your sins. Luke 13, verse 3 says, I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And confess that precious name before this assembly tonight, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Why not do that? Maybe you hadn't been faithful. Maybe you've just been playing church and you need to rededicate your life to the cause of Christ. You need tonight to repent of going in the wrong direction. You need to come back. If you do, then why not do it now